earlier on, like, a lot of the stories that I would hear about certain animals, like, one that really stands out to me was when I was at Animal Place, and there is this pig named Rita, and she was pregnant and in a transport truck, and she pushed her way out of the truck and tumbled down the highway. And so not only did she save her own life, but she saved the lives of all of her piglets, and then she ended up at Animal Place. And, like, she was one of the pigs that I just remember so much from being there, because, like, I remember, like, just, like, looking into her eyes, too. Like, she just had, you could just tell, like, she just had so much wisdom, like, just so intelligent and just so much, like, love for her piglets. And I don't know, like, that's the kind of thing that really inspires me and really, like, keeps me going and, you know, really, like, you know, this is the reason why I'm vegan.
Hi friends, welcome to Follow Your Kind podcast, and today we have a conversation with Kayla Swope. Kayla is a main caretaker of 170 residents of Full Circle Farm Sanctuary, a beautiful animal sanctuary about an hour south from Atlanta, located in Warm Springs, Georgia. Kayla is a wealth of knowledge and also an amazing hard worker, truly passionate about her work. She is the most humble person you meet, and one of my favorite things is Kayla's ability to learn from animals, all 170 of them, and she talks about that during our conversation. Also wanted to do a quick shout out to the Game Changers documentary that's coming out in movie theaters nationwide on September 16th. If you're local to Atlanta, we will be hosting a special buffet at Cafe Sunflower on Monday, September 16th. It's 5 to 7. Tickets are available now. Buy, they're going quick. So my hope for this event is to create a platform for local heroes of Atlanta to meet and mingle. So we'll have leaders of plant-based nutrition, healthcare professionals, wellness coaches, and social entrepreneurs and activists of Atlanta. As I said, tickets are available now. I'll include a link in the show notes, and I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoy the show. All right, welcome everyone. Hello, welcome to another episode of Follow Your Kind podcast. And today we have Kayla Swope from Full Circle Farm Sanctuary. She's the animal care manager there. And I'm delighted to have you and talk to you finally. I think it's been some time in the making. And I'm really grateful that you just took time to drive down to Newnan, Georgia, where we're sitting here in the park to record an interview with me. So hi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So there are several different angles that I'd like this conversation to take, both from your personal history and how you got into doing the work that you do, what motivates you, but I'm also looking forward to you sharing some of the stories and shedding light of some of the personalities of beautiful beings that you come in touch with every day and that you work with, because I don't think a lot of people have that privilege to get to know the cows and the pigs and the chickens and the emus and all the other really cool animals that they are, but we don't usually interact with. So I'm excited to talk to you today. But I'd like to start with your personal story first. So why don't you tell us where you're from?
I'm from Pennsylvania. I have always really loved animals. As a kid, we used to foster kittens a lot, and so I was always bottle feeding kittens. Oh. And I just always, I had such a love for animals, but I never really knew about, like, being vegetarian or being vegan or any of that. I just knew that I, you know, really cared about animals. Mm-hmm. And I started, I remember, like, I had relatives that would hunt deer. And so at an early age, I was, like, really, really upset by that. And I...
What is early age?
I was probably, like, I mean, as early as, like, 5, like, really young. Just I would, like, cry about it. And, like, they would offer, like, deer meat. And I was, like, no, I don't want to eat that. So I was able to make, like, those connections because it was, like, in my, you know, personal life to be, like, oh, this animal is, you know, dying. So then, like, you know, as time went on and I, for some reason, like, fell in love with pigs. For whatever reason, I just loved pigs.
How did you find them?
Or where did you see them? They had agriculture fairs and stuff, uh-huh. like, that where they would have, like, animals there. And I remember I would like see the pigs and I would like look into their eyes and like just, I don't know, I just really loved them. So like when I was probably about 10 years old, I decided like I wasn't going to eat pigs anymore because I was like, well, you don't eat something you love. So I decided to stop eating them. And so, yeah, like all these different experiences of just like meeting animals and just falling in love with them, I like started really wanting to do something with mm-hmm. animals. And I think it wasn't until I was maybe like 13 that I like actually met a vegetarian for the first time. And I was like, oh, that's what I've been feeling this whole time. Like, that's what I want to do that. Like, I don't want to eat animals. But for a while, like, I didn't have a word for it. And I remember like my sister would be like, why are you being so picky? Like, why don't you want to eat those things? Mm-hmm.
Who was the vegetarian that you met at 13?
It was just someone that I had like met in school, and I was like talking to her, and she was like, oh, I don't eat that, I'm vegetarian.
So she was a peer.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, what's that? And it was exciting to like know that other people felt the same way that
yeah.
I did. Yeah. So yeah, like I think like just making those connections, and then I was, you know, doing fostering and just feeling like I really wanted to help animals. And eventually started working at a dog and cat rescue, and I worked there for a few years, and I, you know, did a lot with, and I kept doing fostering on my own. Mm-hmm. But as I started learning more and more about farm animals, I really wanted to do more work in helping them, because there's so many people helping dogs and cats, but I was like, you know, I wanted to focus more on farm animals, and so that's kind of why I like started shifting into doing farm work.
What was the point where you were like, okay, dogs and cats are kind of taken care of to a degree, and I want to shift more towards farm animals? When was the decision made, and what was it motivated by?
Well, I think like, so for a while, throughout high school, I was, I was just vegetarian, and I didn't think like too much about it. I was just like, oh, I don't eat animals. I like animals. And then like, you know, I just started doing like helping, dogs and cats. And then I started seeing videos on factory farming, and I started seeing like the, you know, stuff with dairy cows and like egg laying hens. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, it's not enough for me to just be vegetarian. Like, these things are happening to, you know, all these other animals too. And so that kind of started making me shift my thought a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I guess it was kind of more probably early college. And at the time, I was actually studying elementary education, so I wasn't even going into working with animals. But I didn't know anyone that was vegan either, so I was a little like kind of confused on how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of the point where I was like, oh my gosh, like I need to do more. Like I need to, like, this, it's not enough for me just to not eat these animals. Like I really want to help these animals. So mm-hmm. I kind of like, after I graduated college, I was like, I love helping kids, but I like really want to help animals. So that's kind of where my mind started shifting a little bit. And then I was working at that cat and dog rescue, and I was like, I want to help farm animals, but I don't know a lot about them. So I went and interned at Animal Place out in California.
Mm-hmm. How was the jump from Pennsylvania to California? Was it purely for the internship?
For the internship. I just started looking around different internships, and I just was really interested in that one, and I always liked traveling, so I was like, I'll just go out there and do this internship.
How old were you at that point?
It's like 24, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was your family pretty supportive?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. I mean, they knew how much I loved animals. They knew that's what I wanted to do, and it was just my dream to be able to like work at a sanctuary.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. Okay, so you go to California for the internship.
Yeah, and then after that, I kind of just started looking at different jobs, and eventually I found Full Circle, and I came down as a caregiver, and then I kind of made my way up into being an animal care manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were some of the experiences at that place that you were interning in California that
stuck with you or that kind of shifted your perspective further?
I think I just, I never, you know, I'd seen a lot of farm animals. I'd been to, like, those different fairs and things where you, like, see, like, the different farm animals, so I would meet them. But it was, I never got to meet farm animals, like, in a happy setting like that, where I was, like, really able to bond with individual animals. It just, I mean, I always had respect for them, and I always, like, cared about them, but just being able to actually, like, make those individual connections, like, really, really impacted me. And I was like, this is really what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. Like, I love this. And just, like, doing all that work, too, like, I just felt so happy. Like, it felt really fulfilling to be able to help those animals, like, you know.
That's amazing. So what were some of the things, what were your job responsibilities at that place in California?
Did a lot of, we would help with some of, like, the feeding routines in the morning. And then a lot of it was, like, a lot of it was really, like cleaning out, like, their areas and stuff. But we got to assist with some of the medical care, too. And that's kind of when I started learning a little bit more about the impact on the, on chickens. Like, they had a lot of hens, and they did really big rescues of them. And so at one point, like, one of the chickens had a prolapse, and, like, I had to help, like, push their prolapse back in and, like, hold it in, because, like, sometimes, like, when they're, like, trying to, like, lay an egg, like, it will, like, you know, it will all just, like, push out. And so there was, that was kind of the first time I had seen that. And so just, like, seeing a lot of those things, like, really kind of made me want to help even more.
So then from there, you look for jobs and you find an opening in a full circle farm sanctuary all the way in Atlanta, Georgia. And then you make another move to Atlanta, Georgia. And that was 2 years ago?
Okay.
So what was, tell us what you do right now in at Full Circle Farm Sanctuary.
So basically I'm responsible for the care of 170 residents there. And so it's just, a lot of it is just making sure that all the individual animals' needs are met. So, you know, we have a lot of older animals that have arthritis, and so, like, making sure that they have a certain, you know, treatment plan for them, and then we have animals that are really prone to parasites, so they have their own pasture. And so just making sure, like, their nutritional needs are met. So I look at everybody and, like, is this pasture appropriate for them? Like, how much do they need supplemented? Making sure, like, all the areas are safe for them. And a lot of what I do is medical stuff. So we, I'm able to do, like, fecals on everybody and, like, health checks on everybody, and I can get blood from them and all these different things. So just, like, making sure, like, you know, the animals are all taken care of, and, like, just supervising the staff and just making sure everything in animal care is running smoothly.
I love it. So I'm thinking about it. I work in healthcare in my professional role, and I'm thinking that you're pretty much running animal healthcare at Full Circle Farm Sanctuary with, like, occupational health for the proper posture and all of that stuff. This is really cool. So one of the things that I was really excited to get into with you to talk about were some of the individual stories or personalities of the animals that you deal with daily. And kind of as we talked briefly about before, is, and as you mentioned also, there are so many opportunities for people to get to know their domestic, quote-unquote, animals, cats and dogs, right? But then most of the people don't see the cows or the pigs or the hens in their natural environment. And, like, with your such a unique experience, being able to come across pigs and, like, seeing how they are and their personality so early on in your life, how it affected you. But a lot of people, especially nowadays and especially in the United States, don't have that privilege. So I imagine it's really hard to experience compassion to something that you don't know personally. So I don't know, just share a little bit about the fact or your experience of the quote-unquote farm animals that do have personalities.
I definitely agree with that, because so many people I talk to that haven't been around farm animals, they're like, oh, like, aren't chickens just stupid? Like, aren't they, don't they not have, you know, like, what do they do? And but the chickens, I really love to talk about them, because they have such unique personalities. We have this one little chicken named Francesca, and she is like always like, I feel like she has a whole routine of what she does all day. Like she's always like, she like is always like running from one end of the sanctuary to the other. Like she looks like she's always busy doing something. Like she loves to just like visit with people, and she's like can be a little sassy sometimes, and it's just so cool to kind of watch her go about her day. And like really they're all different because some of the animals you know love to just come over to you and snuggle up with you, and some of them want to be left alone. Mm-hmm. And like I mean with like the cows for an example, we have Sylvia, who she's our matriarch. Like she is, you know, like the leader of the herd. And she's very protective of her herd. And, you know, a lot of the other cows want attention, and you can go up to them. But, you know, she's very standoffish, but for good reason, because she's had a lot of her calves taken away from her before coming to us. Mm-hmm. And so she's very wary of people. But she, you know, she's starting to become more comfortable with us, but she's, you know, like she has a right to, you know, not want attention from people. And that's kind of like what we love at the sanctuary, is that, you know, some of the animals want a lot of attention and some of them don't, but it's okay. You know, like they can all mm-hmm. be free to be their individual selves. But yeah, then we have like Bria and Kelsey. I think Carmen and Greg had mentioned like they at Farm of the Free, they helped bring them to the sanctuary, mm-hmm. and they're super sweet too. Mom and her baby, and so they get to live their lives out there. And their Kelsey is very very affectionate and likes to lick you, and you know he'll just be laying down, you can just go over and like sit with him and pet him, and he's, you know, super super friendly.
I met them last time that when I was there.
Oh really? Did you? Yeah.
How old is Kelsey right now?
He's about a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember he was very still very small.
Yeah, he's still pretty small now. Yeah.
What is the usual life expectation for a cow?
Well, it's hard because like a lot of cows don't live as long as they, you know, should be. I mean, they can live, you know, up to like 30 years old, but you rarely ever see cows get that old because mm-hmm. of, you know, how much they've been put through.
Yeah.
Right now we have Guinevere is our oldest cow, and she's about 20 years old, mm-hmm. but she's already, you know, she's very arthritic and is has a hard time getting around. So I mean, if you know someone like Kelsey, who's, you know, started his life out with us, like he mm-hmm. probably could, you know, live for a really long time. But unfortunately with cows especially, you know, there's not a lot that you can do once they're, you know, once they like give out, because they are so large and their bodies have been put through so much.
Yeah That's so heartbreaking.
I know.
What is the usual life expectancy of the cows who are in the farm industry?
A lot of them, I know like with dairy cows, usually by like 6 years old, they'll be put down. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, especially with them, because I mean, the ones that are being, you know, milked, like they're not meant to be, you know, milked that often. Like their body is just really.
Wow. Yeah. So roughly speaking, translated into human years, it's the life of somebody, of a person who is enslaved and raped, for the lack of a better word, for their whole life. And then they die before reaching 20 years old.
Yep.
This is crazy.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Wow. What are some of the stories? I know when I was there last time, and I spoke to Danielle and a few other folks from Full Circle Farm Sanctuary, they always have this like beautiful story. So it's like a story of adventure, and you can make a movie, like a heroic movie, about how each of the animals got to the Full Circle Farm Sanctuary. What are some of the stories that are your favorite or stand out the most to you?
I'm trying to think. Unfortunately, a lot of the animals like arrived before I came. Mm-hmm. But some of the ones that like are really, really stand out to me are some of the animals that have fallen off of transport trucks. Mm-hmm. Like we've had two of our Cornish chickens that we have. Like Lucy is one of them. She fell off a transport truck, and luckily, like somebody saw her on the side of the road and took her in, and you know, cared for her for a little while, and then contacted us, and we were able to to take her in. And I mean, it's just stories like that. Like, it's sad because, you know, so many of those chickens don't get the opportunity, but it's nice for ones like Lucy that we're able to find her way to us.
Yeah, I bet it makes it even more special to work at Full Circle, just because you know that every animal, well, most of the animals who are there, enjoying life because of a very unique and special chance that they've gotten out of, 9 billion that die every year in the United States, and then being able to be noticed, to be picked up, and then to have a beautiful sanctuary like the Full Circle to be brought to, and people like you to take care of them.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the expressions of friendship that you see among the residents of the Full Circle.
So we have, I think the chickens are probably the ones that I enjoy watching the friendships the most, because they just, like, a lot of our, like, we have these two chickens, Rosemary and Basil, that, like, they'll just run off together. Like, you just kind of see them, like, kind of gossiping with each other, and they'll just, like, kind of run off with each other, and, like, actually, one of the funniest, so we have a rooster named Roman, and he is always kind of, like, trying to find, like, who he can hang out with. And, like, he'll, like, follow the hens around. He's, like, trying to, like, hang out with them, and they're all just, like, doing their own thing. But then recently we had one of the chickens, Tinkerbell. She used to be one of our aviaries, but, like, wasn't really getting along with a lot of those hens. So we moved her into, like, the barn where Roman is. And he just decided, like, he just loves her. So everywhere she goes, he just follows her everywhere. And, like, if he loses her, he just kind of, like, looks around and is, like, so confused. Like, oh, no, like, where is she? And he'll, like, see her in the distance, and he just, like, is running, like, really, really fast, like, trying to keep up with her. It's really cute.
I love it. What are some of the, or are there any, like, traits in general of chickens that you can talk about for people to just know about? Because nobody sees chickens, or very little people see chickens in their natural environment.
Trying to think.
Like, for example, I think for dog owners, they would say that, like, dogs are very, very loyal, and, you know, if you ever want anybody to love you unconditionally, it would be your dog.
Yeah,
like, they're always excited when you come home, where, like, cats, those are, like, really independent. Yeah, and, you know, they like to show off, and it's all about them. Do chickens, in your experience at least, do they have any, like, qualities like that that you can attribute to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the chickens, I found that it really depends on each individual chicken. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all so different. It seems like, it's like a lot of our Cornish chickens, like, you'll sit, like, go in, and, like, they want to, like, jump up on you. And they, like, love just, like, pecking at different things on you. Mm-hmm. But then, like, some of our other ones are just very, you know, like, standoffish and don't want anything to do with you. But they love treats. Like, we, like, as soon as you put out, like, a bunch of, like, produce, like, they are all about it. Like, they love their treats. But yeah, I think, like, a lot of the chickens are kind of just, like, to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. But if you spend enough time with them, you can definitely really bond with them. And, you know, I was mentioning, like, Tinkerbell, like, she sometimes, when the staff is eating their lunch, she likes to jump up and, like, hang out with you, and then, like, try to, like, sneak a treat while you're, like, eating.
Do they recognize do they differentiate between the different caretakers? Like, can they differentiate you versus somebody else?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think a lot of the different birds kind of might like one person over the other. Yeah, they definitely can recognize faces, and they have their own, like, language going on. Like, you can always just see them kind of, like, chatting with each other.
About all That's funny. What about any of the cows or pigs? Are there, like, anybody that you maybe have a special bond with, a special relationship?
I think I try not to have, like, you know, like, favorites and things, but I think there are definitely, like, animals that I bond with a little bit more. we have one of our goats that we have, Hyacinth. I always, like, whenever I go into the pasture, I always like to sit with her, and like she'll come over and like put her head on me, and like, just, I don't know, I always like have felt like I have a really, like, you know, good bond with her. And mm-hmm. it's nice. Yeah, and like, I mean, and then some of our animals, like Jade, our sheep, like, he just loves everybody. Like, you go in there and like, he's up and like, he'll be right up on your face, like right up on your shoulder. Like, sometimes he'll even like put his hoof up, like, you know, like kind of like a dog, like when they're shaking, like he'll put it up and like, mm-hmm. and he'll like try to step on you. And like, he's just super, super friendly to everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, all the animals like have different people they like more than others, I think. Like, unfortunately, like some of them, like, I'm always the one that's poking them with needles. So, like, sometimes they think they're like, you're the one that pokes us. Like, I don't really want to be around you. So they definitely, like, kind of, they remember things, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they have favorites too.
Probably have a few grudges. Maybe,
yeah. Yeah.
So I know you mentioned at the beginning that you also kind of wanted to talk about why you only have 170 animals and not 5,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, because a lot of people, I think, come into the sanctuary and they look at some of our pastures and are like, oh, like, you could put, like, 10 more goats out there or something. But we really try to focus on the individual care of every animal. So, like, every animal there has a schedule that I do. I do a health check on them. I do a fecal on them. I do, like, you know, all these individual things. And if we got too many animals, I wouldn't be able to do that. So we want to make sure that we have the staff to take care of the animals, but also every animal is going to be more, you know, money too. And as a nonprofit, you know, we rely on donations. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're responsible for the animals that we have. And so we want to make sure that we have the means to take care of each individual animal, because ultimately the ones that are sanctuary, you know, we've promised to them that we're gonna, you know, take care of them, and right. So we want to make sure that we can keep that promise and not just take in so many animals because we, you know, have the space, but, you know, might not have like the ability to take care of them.
Yeah, it sounds very responsible.
Yeah,
certainly.
I mean, obviously, we'd love to be able to take all the animals in, but yeah, so we're never gonna be able to take all of them.
Yeah, but it's interesting, and kind of as well as we talked a little bit about. Before starting the recording, is like our friends Carmen and Greg from Farm of the Free also talked about it. At the end of the day, you, as much as you want, you will not be able to save all of the animals, right?
Yep.
So it's about how well, as you said, can you take care of the animals that you do have, and then also about creating the space where other people are able to come and experience what you experience every day, and learning about personalities and getting to know the animals and their, you know, environment where they can express themselves fully and express their full potential, so they can establish that connection and maybe be able to feel compassion now to other species than just dogs and cats, which is very important, like education and making that, you know, it makes a difference for those 170, and that's very important.
Yeah.
What is the mix, if you know, between like staff and volunteers? I know that you rely a lot on volunteer support, but I also know that you have pretty dedicated staff that works there a lot.
Yeah, so we have, so there's myself, and then we have four caregivers, or three full-time caregivers and one part-time caregiver. And so we do, with 170 animals, we definitely need, you know, volunteers a lot. So the, you know, the caregivers, you know, keep up with all like the feeding routines and, you know, try to like keep, you know, things cleaned as much as possible. But when the volunteers come, we're like able to really like get a lot of our cleaning projects done. You know, like the barns get dirty very fast, and without the volunteers' help, like it would be very hard to keep up with. So we definitely rely on them a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Another topic I wanted to get into is having conversations with other people who may not have yet experienced what you have experienced, and mm-hmm. may not have the realization that cows and chickens and pigs and quote-unquote farm animals have just as much right to be here as the cats and dogs. How, having the experience that you do have, how do you talk to people today, or if you had an opportunity to talk to somebody who's sitting next to you and they're like, well, I just don't understand what's a big deal about eating meat. Like, how do you address that?
I try to focus more on, instead of like being judgmental and like, you know, being down on them, like, oh, like you shouldn't be doing that. I try to focus more on like sharing my stories about the animals. I feel like that's the best way that I can help encourage people to become vegan, is by talking about my job and what I do and the different personalities, and talking about things, the stories, like, you know, a lot of the animals that have, you know, been through really hard lives. And a lot of people don't realize, like, oh wow, like, you know, like, they're like, oh, I didn't know that, like, that's what's happening to those animals. But I think it's hard for them to understand when you put it more as like, oh, like, all these animals are at this, like, these factory farms, and they just don't really think about it. But when I'm like, talk about an individual animal, you know, like saying like, oh, like, you know, like Guinevere, or like someone that's like, oh no, like, you know, like, look, you know, look what she's been through. I think it's easier for people to kind of, like, they can understand it a little bit more when you kind of put it at a smaller level. I think that people respond a lot more to, you know, hearing about compassion than just talking about, like, oh, like, you shouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And for me, I also try to remember that, you know, if we think about, let's say, veganism or abstaining from meat as a way of being compassionate and living in the value of compassion, well, farm animals are not the only ones deserving compassion. Human animals might also use some compassion, even if they annoy you a little bit with their habits or beliefs. They're not up to date. What about species? How do you ever had to have a conversation, or how would you address somebody who, you know, just loves their pet and treats them as a child, but yet is unable at the moment to see that cow may have just as much personality and the right to live?
Yeah, I think, so I actually have a pig at home that lives at home with me.
Oh my God.
So I always, it's helpful to have people meet her. I always like want people to
meet her. What's her name?
Her name's Nora.
Oh my God, I want to meet her.
Yeah, so it's helpful for people that are like, oh, you know, like, those farm animals, like, they're not the same as, you know, my dog. And then I have them meet Nora, and I explain, you know, how smart she is, how she, you know, cuddles in bed with me, how she, like, just remembers everything, and just, she's very, very intelligent. And so people are like, oh, like, every time, like, someone meets her that's never met a pig before, they're like, oh, like, I didn't know pigs were like that. Like, I didn't know they were that smart. And so it kind of, like, you know, makes them think a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of, like, lead into, like, other animals. You know, it's like, oh, well, like, pigs aren't the only ones that are, like, you know, are like this. Like, all these other animals are like this too. But then I also, like, try to explain that it doesn't really, because a lot of people think that intelligence is, like, you know, it's like, oh, they're not intelligent. And it really, regardless of intelligence, it shouldn't matter. Like, anybody should, you know, everyone deserves to live and have respect. And I hate the argument of like, oh, well, like, my dog is, you know, is matters more because this animal is not as smart, which isn't true anyways. You know, farm animals are just as smart, but it shouldn't be based on intelligence anyways.
I love that you say that, because it's like, for humans, right, we don't base our value of somebody on their IQ, or at least we aspire not to do that, right? So why would we do the same for animals?
Exactly.
And then, however, I do love bringing up the fact that pigs are a lot times are even more intelligent than dogs are.
Yeah,
and
they
reach what the scientists say up to the potential, like the intelligence level of the 3-year-old child.
Yep.
So like, that just blows my mind. But then I also know, and I think you're right in the respect that sometimes intellectual arguments are not always hitting the point where we want them to, mm-hmm. and making an emotional connection and framing it in a story. Like, for example, for you sharing your experience with your pet, who is actually a pig,
yeah.
may actually be more effective in driving home the point of the animal rights equality.
Yeah.
How do you think, how do you think about veganism movement overall today, and kind of what's your perspective on, for it going up, down, labels, or any other thoughts that you have about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's come a long way. I mean, I know, like, I've been vegan for about 7 years now, and when I first became vegan, like, I didn't know anybody that was vegan. Mm-hmm. And so I think it really helped to be able to meet other vegans. So I like being able, I think it's good that there is a community of vegans, and I think that it helps other people that are, you know, struggling to become vegan. But I think also sometimes people can be a little discouraged. You know, I try, like, not to be too pushy about it. Like, a lot of times I won't, a lot of times I won't even tell people I'm vegan right away, and like, and then like I'll kind of bring it up later, and they're like, "Oh, like, wow, like, you're not crazy, like, you're not as crazy as I thought you were." And so, like, you know, kind of getting, like, because some people have, like, this, like, perception that, like, all, like, vegans yeah. are a certain way. So I think, like, it's helpful to not be, like, too pushy about it. I think it helps our cause a lot more to, like, not be too overbearing. But yeah, I think veganism has definitely come a very long way, and, you know, even in just the past few years, like, so many more people becoming vegan.
Yeah. What does it mean? And I'm sorry for those listening, we have a company over here. It's all good. What does veganism mean to you personally?
I mean, as far as, like,
how do you define it for yourself? Because I know, like, different people, I think, may have their own kind of understanding of it. I think for me, it encompasses more of the ethical component, mm-hmm. right? I think for people who are looking for health improvement, right? Or, like, I don't know, I work in healthcare, so I want to be mindful
of
the terms that I use. If somebody is really looking to improve their health, whole food plant-based nutrition, I think, is the proper way to go. And then I think veganism is a little bit different, because I think the emphasis on veganism is abstaining from animal products.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond nutrition, but then at the same time, you can also be somewhat unhealthy on a vegan diet. There's certainly an intersection between the two, where you can be very healthy and very ethically conscious.
Yeah.
But I also realize that not everybody may necessarily think about it that way. That's just my personal perspective.
Yeah.
How do you define your veganism?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of on the same. I agree with what you were saying. I think that, you know, some people don't really care about the animals. They're just vegan for their health, and I would consider that, you know, more of a plant-based sort of diet. But, yeah, for me, veganism is, like, you know, not exploiting animals in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not just not eating animals or not wearing them, like, not exploiting them, like, not riding horses, and not, you know, just having respect for all animals.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your heroes in the movement that you draw the inspiration from? And you don't have to have any. I think it's, you have such a unique experience of working with animals every day.
Yeah.
So I bet a lot of inspiration probably comes from
there. I was gonna say, I feel like a lot of my heroes are more so the animals themselves, just because that's really what has inspired me. Because I really didn't, when I started becoming vegan, I didn't know anybody that was vegan, so it was all kind of my experiences and just things I was seeing, and not any individual person that, like, really inspired me. But I think, like, just, like, some of the stories as I was earlier on, like, a lot of the stories that I would hear about certain animals, like, one that really stands out to me was when I was at Animal Place, and there was this pig named Rita, and she was pregnant and in a transport truck. And she pushed her way out of the truck and tumble down the highway. And so not only did she save her own life, but she saved the lives of all of her piglets. And then she ended up at Animal Place. And, she was one of the pigs that I just remember so much from being there, because, I remember, just, looking into her eyes, too. She just had, you could just tell, she just had so much wisdom, just so intelligent and just so much, love for her piglets. And I don't know, that's the kind of thing that really inspires me and really keeps me going, and this is the reason why I'm vegan.
I love it. I think that's the best answer I've heard so far, that your heroes are the animals that mm-hmm. you come in contact with. That's really beautiful. What gives you hope today?
I think what gives me hope is the fact that I do see a lot of people making changes, and I think especially being at the sanctuary and having people there that tour and meet the animals, and then having them say oh my gosh, I want to be vegan, or oh, I'm gonna stop eating. And so it's okay, there's definitely hope, there's definitely, people are meeting these animals and they want to change. And so I feel good that we're headed in the right direction.
I bet this is the most beautiful thing to see, that to see, I think miracles are truly in the shifts of the perspective. I think to be able to see that in somebody else must be so rewarding, especially when it surrounds the work that you do. What is your favorite part about your job?
I think because I do a lot of medical work there, it's having animals that are, really sick or injured, and being able to help them get better. Mm-hmm. That's always really rewarding, because a lot of times, we have animals in really, in a really bad condition, and they get out of it, and it's always really great to see that.
Do you get to interact with people a lot, with the visitors who come to the sanctuary?
A little bit. I mean, I do so much with the animals that I find that a lot of times I'm just always surrounded by the animals, yeah. and I'm not talking to people as much. But
might not be a bad thing.
But I think I more so talk to volunteers more than I talk to people that are coming in for tours, which sometimes we do have volunteers that aren't vegan too. And so I think for them it's really impactful, because, they're not just getting a tour around, they're actually out there with the animals, because a lot of times when they're out with the cows, sometimes we'll have them out there cleaning up in the pasture, and the cows will come and hang out with them. And so so I think I talk to a lot more of people that are just volunteering or kind of just they're visiting. But I think I don't get to talk to, well, maybe not unfortunately, I do spend a lot more time just kind of with the animals mm-hmm. themselves.
I'm just curious, from the people that you do get to interact with, I'm curious, what are some of the most impactful things to them that they're seeing in the farm sanctuary or in their work with the animals?
I think normally whenever we have people there, they'll see certain animals and they'll be oh my gosh, I didn't know that they did that. Or I always see people get really excited when they're in with the pigs, because mm-hmm. the pigs will come up and they're they do their little oinks and they're talking, and they're and people are oh wow, I didn't know pigs were friendly like this. Aww. And so yeah, it's cool to see people come who have a certain they think that the animals are gonna be a certain way, and they see uh-huh. Oh wow, they're way different than I thought they were gonna be, and they have these really big personalities. And so it's always exciting to see that.
What do you think are some of the biggest myths that people have about farm animals that get busted when they come to the sanctuary?
I think it depends on the different, I think people have different ideas of different animals. So mm-hmm. people think pigs are just lazy and fat and are dirty, and then they come and they see that that's not true at all. And with a lot of the birds, I think people think they're just not intelligent, and then they see all these birds roaming around and kind of doing their own thing. And so I think I think every species has a certain stereotype, and it definitely mm-hmm. Gets busted when they come in and they see that they're all just kind of unique individuals.
I love it. What about the ostriches? The emus, right?
Emus, yeah. They're a big one.
So interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, people are always, I find people are always really afraid of them when they first come.
They look intimidating.
Yeah, oh no, they, yeah, they definitely do, because people are like, oh, they look like big dinosaurs. And, but like, they are, they're so, they're very sweet. Our Fernando is the male in there, and he's a little bit friendlier than the girls. So the girls are very sweet, but like, they're a little more standoffish. But no, he just like comes right up to you. You can put your arms around him. Like, he's very sweet.
And why are they there, or why they, how are they used in farm industry?
So a lot of people farm them for their oils. I guess like emu oil has some sort of like benefit. People use oils for, so they get farmed for oils. And then some people farm them, like they have like these like big beautiful eggs that they lay. So people farm them for that too. And emu meat. Maybe people eat emus too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. So what are some of the upcoming events that you can think of with Full Circle Farm Sanctuary? Or if people just want to learn more or get involved or maybe volunteer, how can they find you? What should they do?
So if you go to fullcirclefarmsanctuary.org, we have all of our tour dates listed, and we have all of our volunteer days listed. We do have some fundraising events coming up, mm-hmm. but they haven't quite been posted yet, but I know when you speak to Andy, she'll be able to tell you a little bit about those.
Perfect.
But yeah, we'll be doing some, every year we do something for like Thanksgiving, so we'll be doing something for that. But yeah, Andy will be able to talk a little bit more.
Perfect.
About that.
I'm talking to her tomorrow, so
really?
I'll ask
okay.
her all about it. If somebody who is maybe curious about learning more about farm animals and or maybe would like to get more involved and take their activism to a different level, what would suggest that they do, regardless if they're here in the area, they can come here, or maybe they're somewhere else far away listening?
Well, you know, everywhere, there are so many sanctuaries, you know, in every state. So I think like just finding, you know, the closest sanctuary to you and, mm-hmm. and getting more involved, and even just through volunteering, I mean, you'll really be able to, you know, get to know the animals. I think that's really the best way.
Yeah.
And a lot of places offer internships too. Like we're just now starting, we're offering an internship now. So if anyone like, you know, wants to be more involved, we have an animal care internship where you can actually like do more, like have the hands-on stuff and like feed the animals. And, so I think internships, volunteering, you know, just getting to know the animals. And even if people can't go to sanctuaries, I mean, just following along, on different social media pages, like we, you know, like on our page and a lot of other sanctuaries, like they, you know, will share different stories, what the animals are doing. We try to like post like, you know, cute stories and different, like sometimes the animals are doing funny things and just, you know, posting those too. And it really, really allows you to kind of like connect with them, even if you can't like be there in person.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, well, I have one question that I usually close it out with, but before I ask that, is there anything else that we haven't discussed that you wanted to talk about or mention?
No, I don't think so. I think, yeah.
Okay. Well, the name of the podcast is Follow Your Kind. So for me, it's all about kindness. But I also realize that our definitions of kindness may not always coincide between different people or also between different stages in our life. Mm-hmm. So I love to ask people what, especially my heroes like you, what kindness means to them, and in hopes that it will first inspire me, but maybe inspire somebody else to try on that definition of kindness for themselves and see how they can apply it in their daily life. So what does kindness mean to you?
I think when I think of kindness, I think the first thing is just being as open-minded as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, just not being so quick to judge, and just being accepting of all beings, you know, humans and animals, everyone. Because I think about a lot of the animals, and this can be, you know, applied to people too, where, you know, we have certain animals that people would consider as not friendly. You know, like we have, you know, one of our turkeys, Pierre, who will sometimes like to bite you, you know. But it's like, that's, we respect, like we understand, you know, that's just the way he is. That's his personality, you know, and are still accepting of that. And a lot of people like don't like roosters because they're like, oh, like they're so mean and like they'll like attack your legs and different things. But, you know, they're just protecting their hens. Like we have one rooster, Casper, who, you know, he's so loving to his hens. He like he'll see like if there's like a hawk flying up, he you know gathers them all, they all run in. And like, but sometimes he will like jump up on people and like, you know, try to spur you. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's his job. Like he's doing a really good job, you know, protecting them. So I think that like, you can apply that to people too, where, you know, it's like, you have to understand their circumstances and just kind of be open-minded, even if you don't agree with them. I think you kind of, you know, just being accepting. I think that's what kindness is to me.
This is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. And it's interesting because it's like a lot of times I'm trying to, for myself and maybe to help others see how they can apply what they learn about kindness with people, how they can learn, how they can apply it to animals. But what you're saying, and again, it goes back to that the animals that you work with are your heroes, is that you're applying all the things that you're learning from those beautiful animals to relationships with people.
Yeah.
And that's so cool. Well, Kayla, I thank you so much for your time, and I thank you for driving here to meet with me, and I thank you for all the beautiful work you do and the pure kindness and the compassion that you share with animals in the world.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah.